This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. Yes. Every time I see a crime or a crime story in the news now, I think of Mandy Weiner. I think of that interview we had and how she said that the police have no investigative capacity at the moment. Like, if you're relying on the Hawks or the NPA, I mean, that pretty much means that, like, if you're a criminal, it's like, it's the heyday right now. You can go crazy because they don't know what to do with you. They don't know how to investigate. Even if they know that you're a bad, dangerous person, like, they can't amass enough evidence to have a case against you. It's just, it's crazy. It means basically, like, it's the Wild West.
Jeez.
Yeah, go out there and do what you want is basically what she was saying. Because there's no way they can figure out what to do with you. Isn't that incredible?
That's kind of disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
And how it's just another day at the office for Mandy.
Right.
Dealing with these crimes and cases and Deadford View. And
Deadford View, I love that. But it is, I mean, isn't it fascinating?
Well, like, I just find it sad.
It's like a reflection on the government, clearly.
Mm, no.
I know it's an easy blanket sort of excuse.
Of course it is.
But they are just so bloody useless.
Right.
When was she here? Last week, Thursday?
Yeah.
Because I actually, after the interview, I spoke to an uncle of mine who is a police officer.
Oh, yeah?
And was after this new story that Mabali brought out of the police team who raided this house and was the wrong address, and now the person is suing, and we were referencing the Mandy interview. And my uncle basically said, oh, yeah, these things happen all the time.
I know.
Wait, what do you mean this happens all the time?
Pretty terrifying, huh?
And he works in Durban. He says there was a case that he actually worked on. Tracker, the car tracking company, called him and his team. They said there's been this car that's been missing for a while, and they found it in a particular residence, and they just need police backup. So this team gathers, and they go to this address. They see the car parked in this residence, and they go full-blown action movie mode. They jump over fences, they swarm the property, they cover all of their bases. Lo and behold, this couple come out of the house and they're stunned to see the authorities there. And now they have to explain themselves and find out what's discovered is the fact that the husband has been cheating on the wife and had this affair for the longest of time and bought the mistress a car. And now broken up.
Oh, wow.
And the father, the husband was being scorned.
Oh,
was
on.
All scorned and angry. So took the car away.
What a mess.
And it was the mistress who actually reported the car as stolen because she woke up wherever she was and was like, wait, where's my car?
But it wasn't just her being like a bitch.
No.
She wasn't trying to.
Technically, her car, in inverted commas, was missing, but the car belongs to and was bought
I'll tell
by.
You what.
This cheating husband. Oh, it was a mess. So he says, Mubs
is running a bit late this morning, man. I know she'd be all over this, but, like, really, you know, guys who have, like, mistresses and buy them gifts and keep them as, like, a separate thing, and they try to never let the wife know about the mistress, never let the mistress know about the wife. They lead these two separate mirror lives. It's just incredible how much work you have to do there. And invariably, because people are so full of shit and they're so stupid and they drop clues. Invariably, the one finds out about the other. And then your life becomes hell. Mm. Because now you have two enemies who are so close to you that they know everything. Can you imagine how that just deletes huge parts of your life and how it immediately exposes you to all kinds of ugliness? Yo! That is just not a world you want to end up in.
What
as a man,
mess.
There is no amount of sex that's worth that. None.
So I just wanted to know, did the husband perhaps lie to the wife and say, oh yeah, I bought a new car, or I bought this for you, meanwhile then you discovered it belonged to the mistress?
That's funny, man.
And what a way to discover your husband is cheating on you.
I know, to be woken up by the police. Imagine. Well, like it isn't... Oh, this country is so... Wait, look, the world, humans are all messed up.
True.
Anyway.
Should we close for renovations? You know, when a store needs to just...
I think humanity needs to shut down for renovations. And we need to get off this planet because we're ruining it too. Jeez. I mean, you hear these stories about what kind of an impact we're having on the oceans and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you realize how dangerous we are. Some people say we're not even from here.
What do you mean?
You know that we don't really fit the mold of every other evolutionary species. Haven't we discussed this before?
Not to this extent, but so, not coming from here.
Yeah, I read this this article. It's like a paper. It's an academic paper that this guy wrote because I heard about it somewhere and someone pointed me to this website. And anyway, that this guy who's doing all this research, and I'll try to find his name for you and maybe we could put the info up and you could check it out yourself because mm-hmm. I don't want to be accused of bringing conspiracy theories to bear on the show.
Yeah, that's our job, this side of the table.
Yeah, it's you and Sia that do that. So this guy reckons if you look at the evolutionary progress of all creatures, even plants, every living thing on Earth, and you look at how evolution is a slow and steady, gradual specialization and improvement, right? But humans, ours was very rapid from a period of about 100,000, maybe 50,000 years ago, suddenly we start developing, especially cranial capacity, our ability to think, the size of the brain, the tool use, all of that stuff, suddenly takes this very sharp exponential curve up for no good reason. And that we are not in keeping with all the other animals. You know, if a rhino, for example, followed that, a rhino would be speaking Latin.
Sure.
You know, if a bird followed that level of specialization and evolutionary progress in the same space of time that we did, and at the same rate that we did, then birds would be engineering nests out of steel and nanoparticles. You know, It's that kind of evolution. It's just inexplicable for humans because our evolutionary progress is just so much faster. Suddenly, at the end of the last epoch of human development, and that every ancestor we're supposed to have had that are related to all the, you know, monkeys and the chimps and the apes and the, you know, bonobos and all of that stuff, that there's just no explanation as to why our ancestors just suddenly took this incredible turn and started developing way, way faster than anything around them. And they reckon it might have to do with alien DNA. They say our second chromosome is unlike it's so unrelated to so much of the other genetic material in the other living primates that there's evidence in that second chromosome that we have been tampered with. Ooh. that we've been genetically engineered, that something had a hand in messing with our DNA. Actually engineering us.
Sounds pretty plausible to me.
Well, you love conspiracy theories.
No, but yeah. it really does.
This is another juicy one to add onto your list.
No, it just really does. Like, if you look at evolution of animals, and sure, like, some fish become slightly more land-based over hundreds and thousands of years, but they're still not running like humans. I mean, they've got, like, their flaps have a bit more of a grounding. That's it. Whereas with us, we went from looking like Ben Stiller to what we are now. I mean, and doing amazing things.
Looking like
Ben Stiller hasn't evolved. He's the only one who hasn't evolved.
I mean, well, one good movie.
Okay, is that...
All right, you get the point, though. So some people are saying we're not even from this planet and that we have been fiddled with and tampered with by some alien force, or that there was an engineer in the works at some point in our history. It does start to border on... It does start to border on conspiracy theory, and then you get into, you know, these people who say, well, what's that guy's name who wrote that book? The guy who wrote about how the ancient Sumerian civilization was much, much older than we think, and that they were linked to the first gods who lived on Earth kind of thing. It's a whole, I mean, it's kind of parallel to proper academic history. And then there's this side branch of, history that just says there was a bunch of previous civilizations that we don't have a record of. They call them antediluvian, as in before the flood. That's interesting. I mean,
I had to even Google ancient Sumerian, so that's my reading for today.
There we go. So take a look at the ancient Sumerians, and I mean, this is not new. This has been something that was floated a long, long time ago by some reasonably thorough academics, but a lot of people in you know, traditional history don't like this. They don't like talking about this stuff.
Why?
Well, because they
throws what they believe.
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of it that has to do with mythology, and you know how it goes. I mean, basically the idea that the ancient Sumerian civilization is a lot more controversial than people think. And there are some interesting YouTube videos you can go and look at, and interesting books you can read, and some of these are from the like 60s and 70s, so it's not as if this is novel information. It's just new information in respect of standard history.
Hmm.
Anyway, if it's true, then we're aliens. And we've been fiddled with by aliens. We've been engineered to do something, to work for them, or to make something happen, to suddenly give us this growth spurt that we weren't expecting.
See, all of that makes a lot of sense.
Uh-oh, here we go. How?
But then how are the aliens leveraging us? Are they?
Well, they might have in the past.
Yeah, but okay, so they've invested in us, basically, let's be honest here. They've invested in us to have this meteoric rise. It's like when you sell your soul to the devil, like Ronaldo has.
Yeah.
They're going to eventually get something out of you. Okay?
Yes.
You are, so what are the aliens getting out of us? Are we just slowly destructing a planet they don't need?
So this whole theory posits this, that we were these ape creatures that weren't particularly intelligent, that couldn't really be put to work. We were too primitive, too stupid, too useless. And it would have taken us millions more years to have suddenly got to where we are now.
Okay.
Instead, 5, 10, 15, 20, 50,000 years ago, depending on who you believe, these people who had the capacity to engineer us, to change us, to make our genes accelerate in directions that we didn't know we could and that evolution wouldn't have prepared us for, they needed smart labor. They needed skilled labor. They needed people, us humans, to help them engineer their civilization. But we were too stupid, so they smartened us up. That's what they say. And then eventually they realized they didn't need us anymore, and they just abandoned Earth, or they started fighting with each other, depending on, again, what you read. And then they buggered off and left us. I mean, you know, again, they say they lived for 10,000 years. We live for about 100. But they engineered us to be a little smarter, a little more dexterous, a little more tool-worthy, so that we could help build things. Anyway, it's wacky.
Or we could just be for their entertainment, because boy, oh boy.
Yeah, I don't think. the fact that humans are so full of ourselves that we imagine that we would be entertaining to a god who could imagine universes just shows you how full of ourselves we are. Humans are not interesting compared to nebulas and quasars and black holes. And humans are it's like, you know, you watch an ant farm to see how two ants really get along. Please, who cares, right? If you had those kinds of powers, you wouldn't watch the ants. There'd be things you could be building. You could develop galaxies and universes and time travel. And can you imagine the things that you'd be able to do? And then humans, we think we're so interesting, because we watch ourselves on reality TV and we're like, this is fascinating. We're not. Not really. Anyway, we've gone off on a horrible tangent. Someone says, the aliens are still here. All the very wealthy and powerful are keeping a system going whereby they flourish. Well, there we go. Someone says, Zachariah Sitchin, that's Leletu. I think he may have something to do with that, particularly the ancient Sumerian stuff. A lot of people saying the stoned ape, in other words, that we discovered hallucinogens, and that helped us to develop our imagination and our cerebral cortex a lot faster than we should have by evolutionary standards. So there's something interesting. So a lot of people who've read this stuff, it's not just us. But there's plenty of information. I mean, you know, thanks to the internet now, you can go and find any whack job theory you like, and some of it may have purchase, other stuff may not. Hello, Mabale.
Yeah, none of that would surprise me because, you know, I've always been a firm believer that humans as a species were a complete fuck up. Mm-hmm. So if we've been tainted with, or we used to be dumb before and we got elevated at a later stage, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Absolutely.
Completely fucking useless is what we are. Fucking useless.
Well, we were made useful, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, we started off where? Useless.
Yeah. Well, we started off as these apes, and now they found whoever the superior intelligence is, they found a way to make us useful. But there we go. I've got to get to this email. This is my favorite thing about yesterday. I sometimes get emails from people who love us. I sometimes get feedback from people who think we could improve. It's always good to hear this stuff. I met a guy the other day in Durban who said to me he listens every morning. And he said that what he really likes is us talking, and he hates it when we have guests.
Wow.
He said there's no need for guests. He says he likes to just hear us talking to each other and occasionally arguing and coming up with interesting ideas, and that's what he listens for. So he said, no more guests. I said to him, well, there's a bunch of people who would disagree with you. You've got to keep a balance. Anyway, this is just a great email that I got, and I actually forwarded it to everyone on the team. It's from Tando Kumalo, and Tando says, I am your biggest fan since Julius Malema introduced me to Cliff Central when he said that he was going to boycott you guys. Little did he know that he was doing free PR for you, so I had that introduction. I don't know you guys personally, and I never listened to you when you were on radio. I was very fresh on you. I felt so sorry for you guys when you said you were going, well, it was me, obviously, when I said I was going through a Twitter storm. That was in, what, 2016? I'm here to tell you that as a young black man, I'm living a really good life, and I didn't relate to you having problems with social media because I'm not on social media. There was a time that you said each person that is listening to you must tell one or two people about Cliff Central, and then they'll post on social media. I did that to the point where I still have these people listening to Cliff Central to this day, and I've not been able to post or show proof of my actions because I'm not on social media, but I took that as a kind act on my side, and I love what you do. Isn't that nice? Then he says, it took me a year to Google Ben and Mabali and Sia, and there was a white guy, I think it was Flax, don't ask me why even I had to ask myself, I don't know, but I looked up Mabali, and she is a beautiful lady. What? Take a compliment. What's wrong with you? There we go. You and I both have such problems with taking compliments.
Yeah, I'm okay with having my problems.
Yeah, but you've got to learn. If someone says you're they don't owe you anything. They're saying you're beautiful.
Thank you.
That's a nice thing for someone to say. It is. Weird, antisocial psychopath.
Yes.
All right.
Now take it, he meant it genuinely.
When you said that that anyone who wanted to work at Cliff Central should just apply, I wish I had because I'm from Durban and I knew it wouldn't have worked out. Now looking back, I wish I had because I'm jobless.
Mm. Oh, no.
Yeah. There are things that you take literally when people say that you feel that you're part of the family. I feel like that too, due to the fact that I make sure I listen to you guys every morning. I must say, you're one thing I look forward to every day, and without you, my days are not good. That's a lot of pressure on us. I don't think you know that your biggest fan lives in Claremont. I used to live in a shack. I've been motivated by Cliff Central to follow my dreams and have a good life. I wish to say thank you for starting what you did. And then Dundo just says, nice. You know, he sends, there are a lot of other comments in here too, but it's just amazing to me because a lot of the time when we talk to advertisers and we talk to people who are new to what we're doing, they assume immediately that all of our listeners are wealthy people who can afford lots of data, who live in the suburbs, who have Wi-Fi. And here's Dundo who listens to us every day, and he lives in Claremont. He used to live in a shack. And he makes it work. He gets it going for himself, and it's an important part of his day. And I'm just really, really moved and motivated by the fact that there are people like Ndando who listen to us. It makes it worthwhile for me every single day.
That's very cool.
That's very special. So I just thought I'd let you know that there are people like him out there, and that's who we do this for. Makes me feel like it's worthwhile. on those days where those cold winter mornings where you wake up at 5 and you're like, what are we doing this for? Well, thank you, Dundo. It's for you. And I really appreciate the email. So there we go. It's time for us to check in on the five things we need to know today. So, Mubs, take it away.
Well, how much is a drug bust worth?
Generally between 10 million and 60 million.
Oh, okay. No, not quite, Ben. Well, at least not in Mitchell's Plain in Cape Town.
Okay, that's different.
Almost 5 million rand worth of drugs were taken off the streets of Mitchell's Plain in a joint operation between the Hawks Narcotics Enforcement Bureau as well as Crime Intelligence. It led to the recovery of more than 11 bags of Mandrax tablets.
Do people like Mandrax? Who uses Mandrax?
People
what does that
can't afford cocaine.
So what does Mandrax do? Can anyone help me understand this?
No.
It's just like a really poor quality, horrible drug which makes you go a bit wild.
Aren't they all horrible?
Yeah, but you get better kinds of drugs that are less, more recreational, less lifestyle. If you know what I mean?
I don't.
Well, okay. Mandrax
I'm a marijuana person. I don't know anything about all the other...
Mandrax will wreck your shit, basically. And it goes through a bottleneck, and it's very low quality. Like,
oh, right. So when people have those bottles, that's Mandrax.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these tablets were seized on Sunday, but officials say that even though the drugs were found inside an abandoned vehicle in a house on a tip-off, no arrests were made. So... It's a little bit weird. But then again, you know, you hear about how police officials are often involved in how these drugs get moved from point A to point B, because there's a lot of money that goes into all of that. And which leads me to my next story about all these ATM bombings and the violent cash and transit heists that we've been having.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the National Police Commissioner, Kehla Sithole, now saying that, you know, close cooperation with the cash handling industry is key to cracking down on these. I think just yesterday alone, there were three separate incidents of cash and transit
heist.
Just yesterday alone. Since the year started, there have apparently been over 100 of these. And it would seem as though they are more frequent. And yet again, all types of allegations being made about how police authorities are often the ones who are involved in these operations. So Sithole and the police commissioner Becky Cele made an announcement that a nationwide strategy is now going to focus on these crimes, such as armed robberies, hijackings, these cash and transit heists, and then the ATM bombings, because seemingly everything is just getting a little bit out of control.
So Michael from Kolkakio has just sent me a message and said Mandrax is like Quaaludes. It's that stuff that the Wolf of Wall Street guy used in the movie. So there's an interesting insight. And while we're talking about these cash and transit heists, I've said there's a solution, a cheap, easy solution for this.
What is it?
Great jobs?
No. Mm-mm. Grannies and Unos. Mm. I've said this for the longest time. The reason that these cash and transit heists are such obvious targets is because they make themselves obvious targets. They drive around in these big armored vehicles and, you know, it's people who, they've got guns and they pull into the shopping mall and they've got lights and action and, you know, they attract attention to themselves. If an old granny had to walk in with a black rubbish bag, fill it up with cash, let's say 10 grannies do it during the course of a work day, if you've got a lot of cash, right? And the grannies go in with their bags and they don't overfill it. And they look like they've got little checkers. And they put the cash in the checkers quietly in the back of the shop and then they sneak out. Because no one's going to stop a granny thinking that they've got tons of money. And they get into their shitty little car. You know, because old ladies like to drive little cars because then they can squeeze into parkings and things like that. And they just put it in the boot and then they drive off to where the cash has to be deposited. Drive in. Deposit the money. No big gang is going to see the granny and go, wow, that's an obvious target.
But isn't there some kind of restriction or a limitation? Like when this money gets moved, there's a certain amount of it that has to get moved. Would it all fit in an Uno?
Well, I'm thinking you need a couple of grannies. So you hire, I don't know, 50 grannies. And then they all kind of in and out. And then you also, it's now not such a big target hit as well, because if each granny can only take 50 grand, 50 grand is not worth the military style operations these guys are pulling. If you can get, you know, 7-8 million rand out of a armored vehicle, then it's worth doing the hit. If it's 50 grand with a granny and you don't know which granny to follow, and some of them have only got 10 grand and some of them have got 150 grand, it suddenly makes it impossible for people to plan these things properly. Hmm. And you distribute the danger between all the grannies. And therefore, they're all more or less protected by the fact that they're carrying small amounts. I don't know. I mean, I just think that it seems this shouldn't be such a high-profile thing. These guys in these bulletproof vests. Or what you've got to do, the other possible solution, is to put 10 heavily armed, seriously trained military A-graders, special forces guys, into the back of these things. Then they, you know, these guys come along and they try to stop the thing, and then these guys are just got to sit in the back there and wait for them to open the door and blitz the fucking hell out of them.
Jeez.
Just take them all down.
That was like in Breaking Bad when they were transporting the drugs through the chicken sauce.
Right.
And they quickly got onto that, and then they shot the vehicle differently to kill the people.
Well, perhaps, but I mean, you know, you're going to damage the money that you're looking to go for.
Yeah, but sort of 50% is better than nothing.
Maybe, but they need to now bring in the big guns.
Solution is try to create jobs, give people a chance in life. That's why there's so many more criminals. FAT goes up 1%, all these different crimes start happening, people have less money, they're more desperate. So we can stand here and bring in our own nukes and build a wall around, I don't know, the East Rand, but essentially the root of all of this is a decent government that can provide employment for people, give them integrity.
I'm not entirely convinced by that. You know, this notion that criminals are desperate people. There are plenty of wealthy criminals. They've never been desperate. They're just greedy.
Yeah, there's always that element of society.
Yeah.
But we're talking about widespread, as you say, out of control crime. You're telling me that people are going to bomb ATMs if they got jobs?
Well,
far few would.
According to Carl, the granny idea is an old one. It's actually the origin of the term grand for 1,000. They used to help the cartels move cash. $1,000 was $1,000. Okay. The D was added later when lost in translation.
All right. That's
good. And Ramita says, Gareth, how do you know criminals aren't listening to you now? Not just the poor. Good morning, guys. You could tell your advertisers you also have a security guard listening to your shows. Like Country Duty, Ungovernable Renegade Report, and the GCS, Zukile in Philippi, in Cape Town.
Oh, that's a really contrasting mix of shows.
Tell you what. Okay. Very good. So a lot of people who have interesting stuff to say this morning about what they would do about cash and transit heists, but I'm really quite shocked that there were three yesterday. According to Mubs. All right, what else is in the news?
SARS are now saying that they're going to shorten its window for filing tax returns. So how does this affect you? Well, essentially, you are now going to have 3 weeks less to file your tax returns.
Really?
They're shortening the season from the 1st of July to the 31st of October. SARS say that the services, or rather the move, is aimed at ensuring efficiency and also allowing for them to deal with verifications before taxpayers go on their December holidays. They also say that we as taxpayers are clogging up their system. So quite frankly, we're seen as a kind of annoyance to SARS. Well, that's the way it goes sometimes.
That's, you know what, SARS are an annoyance to me and to everyone else in this country. You guys have got to, I know you're hungry for tax because you just haven't pulled in the kind of money that you used to, and you've been mismanaged so badly by the likes of Tom Moyane that now you're trying to find money in places that there isn't any. And I think you're trying to keep the wheels of government turning, even though you guys are spending more money than you're getting. And Jacob Zuma and his cronies stole so much that nobody believes in the tax system anymore. But if you want a tax revolt, carry on doing this. Carry on telling people you're coming for their money. And they'll eventually just stop paying, or they'll move, or they'll take their money offshore, or they'll find creative ways of accounting, and eventually you'll end up with less. That's all there is to it. Governments don't deserve our money anymore.
Yeah, speaking of creative ways of accounting, that's not a bad person to know.
No, sure.
Someone who gets creative with the accounting.
Absolutely.
I'm sure there are plenty of those people.
For sure.
And then lastly, KPMG say that about 400 people are going to possibly lose their jobs because of the closing of certain of their regional offices. And this is all part of the reshaping of their business and strengthening of leadership capacity after they suffered that humiliating situation recently. This follows
working with the Guptas.
Well, you know, consequences. This follows the strategic review of the firm's activities. Look, it's sad that, you know, for possibly 400 people are now sitting at home thinking about the worst case scenario for themselves, all because there was an elite few group of people right at the top, again, who were not desperate at all. They were probably well off to begin with. But, you know, they just wanted more. They wanted more. And now 400 people are possibly going to, like, go through some tough times.
Sucks.
And that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Jesus. Wow. All right. Well, there it is. I'm afraid it's not good news for KPMG.
Well, it's, but then,
as Mabali said, there are consequences, you know? There are consequences to working with crooks. And I wish everybody in government would understand that ultimately you may get away with it in the short term, but ultimately they come and they get you for all the right reasons and because you did all the wrong things. Okay, well, it's time for us to get to Ben, but before we do that, we usually check in on the cryptocurrencies, and, you know, even that, I'm starting to wonder if there's any way out of that messiness. Whose phone is going on the desk here?
Not mine. I'm not that popular.
Not mine.
All right, well, someone's phone is busy buzzing like this. They're being messaged by everybody.
Not mine.
Okay. It's a strange noise for a phone to make. All right, Bitcoin trading at $7,414.40, and the Ethereum Ether currency, $583.41. Still not anywhere to crow about at this point. Let's get to Ben, see what he's got for us. Ben, it's your quietest day, a Tuesday. Do you have some sports news for us?
Thank you so much, Gareth. This is a very busy time of year.
Well, the World Cup's on the way.
Yeah, World Cup's 8 days away in Russia. 8 days. So that's as always.
In Russia, they'll give you a discount. 7 days and 3 minutes.
FIFA will go in there and they'll say, right, you need stadiums. But we've got stadiums. Shut up, is what FIFA always says. So Russia's got 12. They have 12 stadiums, ranging from the massive Lushniki Stadium in Moscow, which will have 81,006 capacity, all the way down to Sochi, which is basically a city that Vladimir Putin created because he wanted Olympics and girls in bikinis and a football World Cup. Man had vision. So that one's got 47,000. So they've got 12 stadiums. The distance between the two most outreaching stadiums, 2,900 kilometers. So it's a big one to travel if you're a fan. Obviously, they try to get things to be clumped as much as possible with the pools. But if you're looking to kind of tour Russia this summer, then that's, put it this way. If the Hollands were there, which they're not, those camper vans would be needing new tires by like week three. So that is it. 8 days until Russia 2018. Very excited about this because it is the game, it is the tournament that everybody watches. If you don't like football, it's still quite a spectacle. And these stadiums look incredible, they really do. And of course, Russia does have a couple of weeks of summer. And all being well, it coincides with the World Cup. Holding thumbs for that.
Well,
yesterday's big match between Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova did not happen.
Yes, I heard about this. Serena pulled out because she got a sore arm.
Well, it was a pectoral strain. I don't know if people say sore arm. I mean, she basically said in the press conference, I've got a pectoral strain. No, but I saw many stories saying arm injury. She said she had a pectoral strain. She's never had this injury before. She felt it in the third round win against Georgios. And then she went and played a doubles match with her sister to try sort of manage the pain. And they lost that match. And then she's like, well, I can't serve. I physically can't serve. So it must have been so awkward because then she would have to go into the change rooms and then see Sharapova and then said, look, sorry, I can't serve. I can't play. And then she'll be like, ah, okay, it's okay. Please love me. And then that's how that exchange happened. But the rest of the fixtures going through, well, Simona Halep, she was just too strong for anyone at the moment. So she's going to face Kerber in the quarterfinals. Garbine Muguruza, she also had a virtual walkover against Surinenko. She won the first two games and Surinenko was like, screw this. I'm off. I'm out. So she'll play Sharapova or Muguruza. And then
Putnitsova will take on Madison Keys, America, and Sloane Stephens will take on Kasatkina. So those will be your quarterfinals in the women's draw. In the men's, also in the quarterfinal stage, we've got Nadal versus Schwartzman. And it was Nadal's birthday yesterday, and he says he doesn't feel old. Look, his hairlines would suggest otherwise, but as a tennis player, killing it right now. He really is. Just like Federer, he's found a whole rejuvenation process of how to get the most out of his left arm. And there he is, top of the draw, looking great in the quarterfinal. Marin Cilic will take on Juan Martin Del Potro at the one. Then Cesenato will take on Djokovic, and then Dominic Thiem will take on Zverev. So we've got a star-studded grouping for the men's. I know we're not seeing guys like Kei Nishikori or Andy Murray, but still, tennis is just flourishing in the men's draw. And sadly, well, Kevin Anderson, he lost to the Schwartzman. So that's if you were wondering about the tennis. In basketball news, the Golden State Warriors have flown to a 2-0 lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And in doing so, last night's big match, the Golden State won 122 of 103 with Steph Curry netting 9 three-pointers.
Wow.
9.
That's amazing. That's phenomenal. He's just he's extraordinary, right?
9 three-pointers in a match total of 33 points. It's just incredible. Previous record was 8. And it's a staggering feat. I mean, if you watch any sort of basketball, a three-pointer under pressure, a three-pointer with your mates in a car park is a big deal. And this guy's doing it in the NBA final. Balls of steel, massive BMT. The next match is in Cleveland, and that'll take place tomorrow. It's a best-of-seven series. So if Golden State win the next two, bam, they've won it again. I think they've won it 3 times in the last 4 years, the NBA finals. So all to play for LeBron James and the rest of his star-studded team. Now remember in the Champions League final, the Liverpool goalkeeper, Loris Karius, he looked like he needed special parking towards that second half because he just kept dropping the ball and it was a mess. Well, he went to America and a doctor basically assessed him and it has come out that he was most probably concussed in that second half.
No way.
So we made a big point about that Sergio Ramos dickhead. He forcefully ran into Karius, elbowed him in the head. And there was speculation about that being a deliberate tactic. And after that, Karius literally just fell to pieces. He threw the ball into Benzema's knee. He had an absolute shocker. And then he got all the death threats. So he went to America. He saw a specialist with a funny name at a very expensive institute. And this is what's come out now. But is this a good thing or a bad thing? Because, okay, this guy's career at Liverpool is obviously in jeopardy after that. And he had some howling mistakes. But now it's come out that he was concussed. But this is quite a lot after the time. It sounds like a bit of an excuse, almost like a cry for help, like a justification of why he did what he did. Everyone fucks up in sport, much like in life. Now it just looks like he's kind of throwing out a rather exotic excuse. Could be right, could be wrong. Is it a good PR move? Because this is what it comes back to. Is it a PR move or not? I don't know. Personally, I think you ought to just take these things on the chin and just see what happens in life. But coming out and saying he had a concussion, I don't know. Decide what you want. If you're a Liverpool fan, you might have very strong views on this. If you're a Man City fan, well, you might have strong views on Pep Guardiola. But Yaya Toure, who was with the team for 8 years, and as Guardiola said, basically was there the whole process of where they are right now. He says that Guardiola's got a problem with Africans. Basically saying that he doesn't like to pick the African players because he doesn't seem to have a great relationship with them. Now, there's obviously great speculation between two people here because you've got Toure, who has obviously been with the team for a long, long time. He didn't get maybe the rub of the green with selections the last couple of years. The guy's in the twilight of his career. He has left the club now. And this is the tough thing is that, yes, Guardiola might very well have a problem with Africans. He might not trust them. He might not like them. That's all hearsay. Or it could just be that the guy literally has a very clinical way of selecting teams. Again, it's all hearsay. But this is what Toure feels very strongly about. And he was basically asked to stay another season, but he had bugger all game time. I think he had about 140 minutes in total for the whole season in the Premier League, 80 of which came in the last match. So yeah, he wasn't the coach's favourite. But now speculation is rife. Is Guardiola a bit of a racist?
Maybe, huh?
Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, moving on to other football. The Tunisian goalkeeper yesterday faked an injury in a warm-up match so his team could break for Ramadan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, how about that for a strategic timeout? As we know, all the Muslim they just Islamic...
Give you, but don't they just give you time off for Ramadan?
Well, you would think this is poor planning. I mean, the guy's going to go down and fake a sickie so everyone can have a bit of food.
Fake a sickie.
He went down in the goal. He was grabbing his arm and his ribs, and basically he looked like he was about to die, like every footballer who comes into contact with anything.
Okay.
And then the team was like, oh, cool, Ramadan. Just going to take a break and have some food. Ah, it's poor planning.
I got
but then
you.
Again, that's religion. It was... cooked up hundreds of years ago when they weren't playing football. So how are they going to ever match these two up? Donald Trump said to the Philadelphia Eagles, screw you guys, you're not coming here. Of course, when every American big team does something amazing, they get invited to the White House. You meet the president, you get a photo op, all that kind of stuff. So the Philadelphia Eagles are the Super Bowl champions, so they get the their invite to the White House. But so few people actually wanted to go that Trump was like, well, screw you guys then. So many people are saying, well, Trump's just being an asshole. Or people are saying, well, at least Trump's sticking to his principles.
Okay.
There's consistency about this guy. Love him or hate him. That's one thing. So there's a whole thing now. If you're not going to sing the anthem, stay in the locker room.
Right.
Okay, because no one wants to see them taking a knee. Huge protests around that. So this is Trump just sticking to his guns and saying, well, screw you guys. We don't need your type, you know. Ooh. You've got to commit to the American flag, the anthem, everything about it, because we're all in this together. So that Philadelphia Eagles will not go to the White House. I guess pretty much it. Golf is about to sign a major streaming deal. Discovery have basically said, we want to have golf streaming. So they signed a $2 billion deal with the PGA Tour, which basically will create almost Netflix-style streaming service, which they want to take to a whole variety of sports. Not only have they got golf, which they believe is the most amazing property to have online streaming outside of America, but they're also going to have the European rights to the Olympics.
Oh, yes?
That's pretty cool. Look, it's really great. I know Supersport's going to cry themselves a river here, but we've all been through that story already. But if these things become more decentralized, we get more options as a consumer, and ultimately I think everybody wins, because it's also a way of having these rights holders to be more innovative how they package their sport and package their product. Sure, there's been network deals and all this conventional stuff over time, but these kind of deals are going to be the future, and it just means that we can pick and choose what we want rather than having to be suckered into a major contract with something. So I love golf. I might do this. I might give Discovery my money.
Sure.
To watch all the events throughout the year. They've got over 140 events.
Not, not a problem.
Yeah. Gareth, I think that's about it for today.
Okay.
Francois Stein and Bismarck Dubussy won't play for the box this weekend because they were in action last Saturday in the French top 14 finals, so they arrived late to the camp, so they'll only be considered as of next week. So that's good news for anybody who plays inside center and hooker in the current box squad, because those guys, well, you think with all the experience and pizzazz around their selections, they'll probably make it through.
Alas.
But not to be. So if you were going to Ellis Park this weekend, which I still advise you do go and do, you won't see Bismarck Dubussy or France then.
All right. Well, here we go. Sia's turn. It's Sia's turn to tell us something positive, optimistic, and inspiring to start your morning.
And it even has a little sports dose.
Uh-oh. Ben's getting nervous when Ben hears you talking about sport.
That's very... Yeah. It was a video that I saw circulating on social media. It looked like something straight out of a movie, but it was a group of young kids, I'll say probably 12 or 13-year-olds, excuse me, flipping over a car.
What?
I know. This car was in an accident. It had turned on its head, and these kids were all flipping it over. I thought, what is going on here? Did my research and found out it was actually quite an uplifting story. It could have turned very ugly, but a youth football team was on their way home from winning a game last weekend when they were faced with a situation that truly tested their teamwork and more about doing good in the situation. Luckily, they triumphed over that as well. So this is a team in Idaho in the States, and they're called the Black Knights. And they were driving back home and they saw an SUV flipped over on the road in front of them. Now, this is when the coach and the players, whom are all 13 years or younger, immediately decided to stop their vehicles. They pulled over and they rushed to rescue the couple who was trapped inside the car. Now, I say it could have turned ugly because you know this entire thing of when people are in an accident, they always say rather call authorities instead of touching them, because you never know what sort of damage they could be in.
But also you hurt people's neck and
exactly,
you know, that kind of thing.
So that's why I'm so glad that no one was further injured. These 13-year-old boys, they helped the man who was in the car. They pulled him out safely, and also they then turned their attention to his wife, who was trapped by her her seatbelt in the car. Now, one of the teens used a knife to cut the seatbelt free, and then the boys combined their strength and harnessed what they call their natural adrenaline to lift the SUV off the ground. Y'all, can adults even move a car? And here we are, these 13-year-old boys doing this, flipping over a car to help the woman who was still stuck in the wreck. The husband and wife, who are Alan and Maggie Hartman, are recovering from some broken ribs, but otherwise are grateful that the Black Knights team became what they say their White Knights for a day by doing good. So isn't that cool?
I mean, when you see people flipping over a car, you'd usually think, uh-oh, danger.
My freaking goodness. You just have to see this video for yourself. Just Google Black Knights and you can see these boys who are banded together and are literally flipping a car over. It's something extraordinary to watch, and the mere fact that the couple are now safe from this as well is extraordinary. So kudos to the Black Knights team today for Sebastia.
Alright, well there we go. Some nice happy info. Some useful stuff from people who are doing nice things, as opposed to people who are just behaving like apes.
Jeez. And, you know, also in the same breath, though, I say, who knows how it could have turned out. But someone else had actually called for paramedics, and they said they had been waiting for over an hour for paramedics to arrive. So
yeah, listen, you'd rather have help than be ignored.
True.
And they do say, you know, you shouldn't do anything if you're not a paramedic. But if you're trying to rescue people from an overturned car, bad things. The car could explode. The fuel could catch fire. You know, get them out of there. All right. Hey, Ben. Somebody says here, Yaya is being sour. Those two never got along, even at Barcelona. Pep is why Yaya left Barcelona, because Yaya was dropped for Busquets. Yeah. Although it is well documented that Pep does not like players who don't play according to a strict game plan. That's why he also didn't get along with Ibra at Barcelona.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys that have been thrown out in their ass.
That's from Cabello.
Yeah, but as you said, it's a hearsay story. It's a great story for the headlines. People love to throw that into it. But yeah, I mean, you've got to be so critical. That's top stage.
Ash says, Gareth, you may be onto something with your grannies. There's a theory in decentralization that says if you want to cut your lawn efficiently, you either have one massive lawnmower to cut the whole lawn in a single motion, or you have enough very small machines that each cut one blade at a time. So you could be onto something, Ash. One blade at a time, I think, is going to take a little bit long, but there we go. All right, you can always message us. WhatsApp 0797482090. You can get hold of us on social media. You know where to do that, too. If you'd like to call us, 0861-555-189. And if you want to email us, you could do that, too. There's plenty of good emails coming through. I'll get to some of those in a minute or two. So, tell us what you're up to.
This is CliffCentral.com.